Psalm chapter 19. We're going to be preaching this morning and maybe for a couple more weeks ahead of us on the subject of glorifying God. Glorifying God. We've been celebrating as a people Memorial Day for I don't know how many years. I hope it doesn't get so familiar to us that we forget its meaning. When I think about the subject of glorifying God, like the holiday, it's something we've been hearing about for years. It's something that we've been hearing messages on and teachings about for years and years and years. And I hope, like with the holiday, we're not too familiar. I hope we won't think, well, this is a familiar subject, I'm just going to tune out. I'm just going to disconnect. The Bible teaches us that the chief end, the chief purpose for our existing, for our being here as individuals, for our being here as a country, for our being here as a church, the chief purpose of all things and all of our existences today is the glory of God. That's the main purpose. We have been created. So I hope as we continue for the next few weeks looking at the subject of glorifying God that you'll stay connected and pay attention. I pray that God would bless us, as we've already heard today, with the ability to look beyond just the physical, but to look at the spiritual. I believe as we're gathered here this morning, there are angels among us, sent down to us, as the song says, from somewhere up above. I really believe that. I really believe the stories that I read in the scriptures about the miracles and the miraculous wars and the conflicts and the deliverances that God gave. I really believe those things. I believe they're true. I believe what we're studying in Wednesday night services about the second coming of Christ and the tribulation period. I really believe these things are to be true. Really realized. John is seeing in Revelation that which is really going to happen one day. This is real. There's angels all around us. God is with us. The Lord has promised to be with us. Will we seek to understand how important it is for us to glorify God? Will we examine ourselves whether or not we are glorifying God? If that's the end means, are we meeting the end purpose for our existence? Are we glorifying God? May God help us this morning to look beyond the physical, to grasp a little bit of the spiritual, to listen to the Word of God and not just have it go in one ear and out the other, but to really see, to really hear what He's teaching us on that spiritual realm. Glorifying God. I was just going to read verse 1 through 3 of Psalm 19. I think we can go ahead and read all 14 verses. It's not that long. But listen. Get beyond the physical realm. May God give you spiritual eyes, and may you see the great truths in God's Word, especially about the glory of God, especially about glorifying God. Verse 1 of Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Did you see all the great truths? Did you see all the great practical applications found in our reading that we just came through? Do you see within these words the glory of the Lord, the importance of glorifying the Lord? The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their language is not heard. There's nowhere where the glory of God can't be seen. There's nowhere the glory of God can't be heard, can't be understood. The question is, do we see it? Do we hear it? Do we understand it? Do we get the spiritual emphasis about the glory of the Lord? The heavens declare the glory of God. Look at Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verse 1 through 4. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord setting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. They cried, Holy, holy, holy. They also cried out, The whole earth is full of his glory. There's no place. Their language is not heard. There's no place where God's glory can't be seen. There's no place. The glory of God can't be understood. But are we seeing it? Are we hearing it? Are we perceiving it? Are we getting into that plane? Are we getting into that level? Isaiah here says he saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw that his train filled the temple. Above it, he saw these seraphims. Were they real? Yes, they were real. Yes, they are real. They fluttered around here in this passage of Scripture and they cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, is the Lord of armies, is the Lord of masses, many. The whole earth is full of his glory." Everywhere you see the glory of God. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Verse number 5. We'll read to verse number 9. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sat in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass. New things do I declare, before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth is full of his glory. My glory will I not give to another. Do we really need to hear another sermon about glorifying God? Do we really need to hear more preaching about giving God glory? Do we really need to see that again? Well, based upon the emphasis concerning the glory of God that we have seen in this passage of Scripture, I think the answer is yes. We need to hear more about giving God the glory. We need to ask ourselves more, not less, more in these days and times. Are we glorifying God? For the last couple of weeks, we've looked at the subject of sanctification on Sunday nights. And sanctification is said to be the will of God. Sanctification is something that Jesus prayed we would have. Sanctification is described as our being partakers of his holiness. Are we holy? Are we among the realm that cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, great art thou"? Are we really giving God the glory in our lives? Day unto day, does your life bring glory to the Lord? I think the answer to that in the average person's life gives further proof. We need more preaching about glorifying God. I have with us, before you, with me, 3 pages, 2 full pages of notes, all of which I'm going to preach this morning. How spiritual are you? Did your heart just skip a beat? That's not true. I was just joshing with you. But I have at least 3, maybe 4 messages before us that I'm going to preach from these notes that the Lord has given us, dealing with the subject of glorifying God. Here's one definition I came up with, or I found, concerning glorifying God. To glorify God is to honor Him with praise or worship. God is glorious. That is, He is great and magnificent. He is exceptionally grand in His nature and deeds. Full of splendor and majesty is His works. When we glorify Him, we acknowledge His greatness and splendor and laud Him for it. When we give Him glory, as all the world is told to do in Revelation 14, verse 7, we direct our praise, adoration, thanksgiving, and worship to Him who alone is worthy. To glorify God is to honor Him with our praise and our worship. God is glorious. He's great. He's magnificent. The language there just is so beautiful at expressing the glory of God. But does this express the burden of our heart? Does this express the desire of our heart concerning the glory of God? Do we want to speak such words? Do we want to refer such words regarding the glory of God? Are we so in awe of God that we desire to glorify Him? Another thing to follow up that reading is this paragraph. To glorify God is to extol His attributes, praise His works, trust His name, obey His word. He is holy, faithful, merciful, gracious, loving, majestic, sovereign, powerful, omniscient. And that's just for starters. His works are wonderful, wise, marvelous, fearfully complex. His word is perfect, trustworthy, right, radiant, pure, firm, precious. His salvation is astonishing, timely, and near. No matter how loudly or widely we proclaim the glory of God, He is worthy of more. Amen. Do we appreciate what it means to glorify God? A few weeks ago, I asked you, when you come into the house of the Lord, do you come for the right reason? Do you come to hear Him speak peace unto you? I want to ask another question this morning in light of the message. When you come into the house of the Lord, when you came into the house of the Lord this morning, did you come with the desire that God would be glorified? Was that anywhere in your thoughts? Was that anywhere rattling around within your bosom? Was there anything concerning giving God the glory that brought you here in the house of the Lord? Then, like I said a couple weeks ago, if you didn't come expecting to hear Him speak peace unto you, He's not going to speak peace unto you. If you didn't come here desiring and seeking to glorify the Lord, then guess what? You're not going to glorify the Lord. We've got to desire it. We've got to seek it. We've got to come into the house of the Lord with that desire that He be glorified. If that is the chief end of man, then we need to come here with that end in mind. All of this subject, all of this material, began with me just coming across a sermon. I believe it was John Piper. And he preached a message that he entitled, "The Chief End of God." The Chief End of God. The chief end of man, our chief end, the purpose for our existence is the glory of God. But I looked at that statement, the chief end of God. What is the chief end of God? And what he preached and what he taught on was the chief end of God is the glory of God. It is our chief purpose for existence to bring glory to the Lord. But it's also God's chief end to glorify himself. In everything that God does in our lives and in this world and in the universe, everything that God does in the heavens is for his glory, is to bring honor and glory to him. Let me tell you something, folks. God created you not because he was lonely. God created you not to do you a favor. God created you not just because he wanted to, but he created you for his honor and his glory. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 21 says, unto God be glory where? Unto God be glory in the church. We are so blessed to be a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so blessed to be a member of one of the Lord's true churches. We are so richly blessed to live in this environment that is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he didn't create the church and he hasn't preserved the church and he isn't one day going to receive the church all because of what it does for us. But unto God be glory in the church. The church exists to bring honor and glory to God. And the chief end of all that God does, the chief end of God is his own glory. God is such an awesome God, a great God. He does all that he does. And you can support this, and we will throughout the next few weeks with Scripture. God is sovereign. God is in control. God is carrying out his will and his purpose, and we're benefactors because of it. But all that he's doing for his own glory, for his own honor and exaltation. So glorifying God is our reason for being here. Glorifying himself is why God is doing all that God is doing. Are we bringing glory to the Lord? Just do a little inventory of how you've lived the last 7 days. Whatever you do in word or deed, it's 1 Corinthians, I believe. Maybe chapter 3. I'll verify that. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. Is that true concerning the last 7 days that you've lived on earth? Is that true concerning the last 7 days that your family has been upon this earth? Is that true? The Lord's church and the Lord's churches over the last 7 days, that we've done all for the glory of God. We're living in a day and time where the world has gotten very man-centered. Religion is very man-centered. Many of the Lord's churches are very man-centered. We're supposed to be God-centered. We're supposed to be God-centered, not man-centered. The only time you see people being God-centered is when God is doing something for man. What does that mean? It brings us back to we're too man-centered. The only time we have to make God the center of everything is when he's blessing us. When we want to talk about his grace and we want to talk about his love and we want to talk about things he benefits us with, that's the only time we're God-centered. We're not God-centered. Amen. We're man-centered. Amen. And there's no benefit, there's no blessing to being a man-centered person, a man-centered culture, a man-centered world, a man-centered church, a man-centered country. It's not about us. It's not about man. It's about God. It's about glorifying God. There's three things I want to make mention of this morning real quickly. Count them as three reasons for glorifying God. Three reasons for glorifying God. Let me read to you real quickly from a profession of faith. I can't remember which profession it was, which document it came from. But this is what this profession of faith had to say about the glory of God and God. God has all life, glory, goodness, blessedness in and of himself, and is alone in and unto himself all sufficient, not standing in need of any creatures which he has made, not deriving any glory from them, but only manifesting his own glory in, by, unto, and upon them. That's God. God is all in and of himself, all sufficient. He doesn't need anything he's created. But he's chosen to be glorified through those beings and things that he has created. So glorifying God is one of our chief purposes, if not the chief end for which we are created. So why glorify the Lord? First thought is we should glorify God because he is truly glorious. And that can't be said about anyone else. That can't be said about anything else. We should glorify and be concerned with glorifying God because he truly is glorious. Think about the passages we've read this morning. Think about trying to pick from the scripture however many other places describe the glory of God without it becoming a study of the whole book. The glory of the Lord is seen page after page after page in the scriptures. He's truly glorious. So we ought to glorify him. We ought to be concerned with glorifying God. Concerned with glorifying God in our services. Concerned with glorifying God in our families and in our homes. Concerned with glorifying God in our churches. Concerned with glorifying God in our individual lives. Because he is truly glorious. And there is something wrong with us. There is something wrong with you if you don't see how glorious God is. If you can't get beyond yourself. If you can't get beyond people. If you can't get beyond mankind. There's something truly wrong with us if we don't see he is truly glorious. We read these words this morning and these passages and these references. And truly, we thank God that we have these words. But the glory of the Lord, and as we speak about how he is glorious, it's really indescribable. It's beyond our human abilities and comprehension to understand the gloriousness of God. Psalms 57. Psalm 57. Again, we're going to take the time and read this entire chapter, drawing your attention mostly to verse 5 and 11. But listen to Psalm 57 in the spiritual eye, in the spiritual ear, with the spiritual understanding. Looking for the glory of the Lord. Looking for seeing the importance of glorifying God. Looking at getting your eyes off of yourself and beyond humans and seeing the glory of the Lord. Verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. That's what we're asking you to do, Selah. Pause, think about it. Pause and think about the glory of the Lord. Pause and think about the importance of glorifying God. Pause and think about how glorious he is. And we ought to glorify him because of how glorious he really is. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Now verse 5. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. And then verse 11 is a repeat of verse number 5. His prayer, his calling to the Lord is that he would be exalted. That he would be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. He is truly glorious. And we ought to want to glorify him because he is truly glorious. Second thought concerning why should we glorify God? Not only because he is truly glorious, but because glory originates with God. That's where it comes from. It's not found coming from any other source. Glory comes from God. And we ought to desire to glorify God because glory comes from God. And when glory comes from God, guess what? It must return to the glory of God. That's why we ought to be concerned with glorifying God. Because he is glorious and because all glory originates with him and must return to him, to his honor and his glory. Psalm 148. Just read a verse here. Another one of those passages where you just hard to pick out. This is the one verse I wanted to look at. Let's just go ahead and read the whole chapter. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Verse 13 is where we was wanting to come to. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. Praise ye the Lord. For His name alone. There's not a long list. There's only one name on it. His name alone. His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heavens. So we ought to glorify God and desire to glorify God because He is truly glorious, because glory originates with Him and must return. Now go to Psalms 111. Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 1 through 6. Well, there's only 10 verses in this chapter. Since we've done it so often today, let's go ahead and live dangerously and read the whole chapter. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. Get that point. He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. He has showed His people the power of His works, that He may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of His hands are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. Side note, no human being's name is reverend. No man of God, no minister of the Lord, nobody who stands in the pulpit of one of the Lord's churches is to be called reverend. Holy and reverend is His name. Call no man father in that term. Jesus Christ, I think, said Himself in the New Testament. Holy and reverend is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And God, a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Third point, third thought that we glean from the reading of Psalm 111 here is we should glorify God because He is truly glorious. We should glorify God because glory originates with Him and will return to Him. The third reason we should glorify God is He commissions us. He charges us. He commissions us to glorify Him. To put it in simple terms, we have no choice in the matter. There are no options in the matter. He has commissioned us to glorify Him. He has called us to glorify Him. He has saved us. He has chosen us. He has redeemed us. He has sanctified us. He has set us apart for His glory. He has called us to glorify Him. So why don't we see the importance of it? Why aren't we concerned with glorifying Him? Look at your life. Where's the glory going? Your glory's going somewhere this morning. As you live your life day by day, day in and day out, the glory that you can have, the glory that you can put forth, it's going somewhere. It should be going towards God. Because He is all glorious, because glory originates with Him, and because He has commissioned you, charged you, and called you to glorify Him. It matters not what you think. It matters not what you like. It matters not what you decide. It matters not what pleases you. What really matters is God glorified? Is God glorified? That's why we're here. We have no option in the matter. But here's the point that I don't want you to miss on this third thought. We should glorify God because He commissions us to glorify Him. But He commissions us to glorify Him for our good. For our good. For our maturing. For our completing. So that we'll lack nothing. Isn't He a good God? All that God does, He does for His own glory. His name is supposed to be glorified in all things. He is truly glorious. Glory originates with Him. He commissions us to glorify Him. But He's commissioned us to glorify Him because as we glorify Him, we're the one going to be blessed. We're the one that's going to be matured. We're the ones going to be made complete. But God's got to be the focus. God's got to be the one that we seek to bring honor and glory to. If any plan, any desire, any thought matters more to you than God, if anything else matters more to you than God, it will be ultimately destructive toward you. Don't miss this. It'll be ultimately destructive toward you, but it will also be destructive towards the one you put before God. That's serious, isn't it? Why should we glorify God? Because He has commissioned us to glorify Him. He's commissioned us to glorify Him for our own blessing, for our own goodness, for our own completeness. But if we'll not do that, and we'll put others, and we'll put other things, or we'll put this, that, and the other before God, that's to our own destruction. And I don't have time. Well, I've got time, but I won't take the time to go from Genesis to Revelation, scripture after scripture, showing us the destructive nature upon putting others before God. The Bible is full of stories and records and histories. But you know what? I can close the Bible right now. And without going to the Bible, I could look out amongst this congregation, and this room is full of stories where people have put others before God, other things before God, plans, purposes, intentions before God that ended in destruction. There are examples right here this morning of lives where the price has been paid, and the price was severe for putting other things before God. We're commissioned to glorify Him. If we put other things before Him and we don't fulfill our commission, we're only hurting ourselves and we bring destruction upon ourselves. But the scary thing is, putting others and other things before God not only brings destruction upon ourselves, but ultimately it brings destruction upon those things and people we put before God. God is a jealous God. His glory He will not give to another. There's a high price for not fulfilling our commission to glorify the Lord. The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth is full of His glory. My glory will I not give to another. The chief end of man is to glorify the Lord. Let us glorify Him because He is truly glorious. Let us glorify Him because glory originates with Him and must return to Him. Let us glorify Him because He commissions us to glorify Him. And He commissions us to glorify Him for our own good, for our own benefit. And oh, how blessed is the one who's commissioned to glorify God when they're glorifying God. And how harmful it is to be commissioned to glorify God, but instead to be glorifying self. Instead to be glorifying something else. Instead to be glorifying someone else. Instead of glorifying the name of the Lord, to put someone else before that is not only self-destructive, but it's destructive upon those we put before God. To put it simple, anyone, anything we put before God, we who are commissioned to His glory, we put at risk. And people want to cry out, oh, God doesn't work that way anymore. Well, when did He change? The Old Testament is filled with examples. When did He change? You cross over into the New Testament and you can find examples and illustrations of this same principle. When did He change? He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has commissioned His people to glorify Him. He'll not give His glory to another. And if we do not fulfill our commission to glorify Him, we're going to harm ourselves and we're going to put others at risk. And typically, those that we put before God and we put at risk are those that's the last thing we want to do. But God is faithful and God is true and His word is true. Glorifying God, it's the chief end, it's the chief purpose, it's the real reason, the main reason, the only reason God has placed us here. How are we doing in that department? Let's stand together.